We're only going to take a couple of minutes, a few minutes, 15-ish minutes, to talk about James chapter 1. And I want to just talk to begin the time of introducing the book of James, to just talk about your goals and your resolutions and how it is that you want to be different this year. Because I don't believe that there is a difference. I don't think you can segment your life. I don't think that you can take the physical away from the emotional, away from the relational, away from the financial, and away from the spiritual. I think that we are all beings that God has created, people, and that encompasses all of these areas of our life. So we're going to be talking about that quite a bit. And I have never met a spiritual person without a physical body. And one of the things I think that our goals should be this year is to keep moving, because at some point we're not going to be able to move anymore. And sometimes accident or illness or injury takes away our ability to move and our ability to exercise our bodies. But sometimes we take it away ourselves, and we limit the way that God can use us. And so one of the things I want to do is to encourage you this year, as we build a life that's disciplined, is for you to move. Just move. And one of the best ways to do that is to pick a way and pick a time and set a habit and set a goal, find a partner if you want to, and begin to move your body. Joy and I, we're empty nesters. When you're an empty nester, you get to have lots of discretionary time, and there are really no excuses left by the way you eat and what you do with your discretionary time. When you have kids at home, it's a lot harder. And so New Year's Day, Joy and I were by ourselves. The kids had left, and we were hanging out. And so we went to the gym in the morning, and then in the afternoon we went back to walk on the treadmill. And we like to go to Planet Fitness to walk on the treadmill, because Planet Fitness has the best treadmills of any gym. If you own a gym in Ankeny or Des Moines, I'm sorry, maybe you haven't been to your gym, but Planet Fitness has the best treadmills. They have like 25 treadmills. They're all lined up in front of TVs. They have spaces for you to put your books or your Bibles, or, you know, watch a sermon, and you can go and you can walk for $15 a month. And it's full of people who have just started, absolutely non-threatening environments. I would encourage you, just as a friend, to check that out. Joy and I like to go back and hit those treadmills. And so we did that on New Year's afternoon. So I walked into the bathroom. I had to pause the treadmill and go to the bathroom. And the joys of being 55, I guess, I don't know. But I came back from the bathroom and I said, I've got to get my camera, my phone. And she said, what are you doing? You just went to the locker room. You can't go take a phone or camera into the locker room. That's creepy. And I said, no, you won't believe what I saw. I've got to go take a picture of this. And so this was New Year's Day at a gym. And I didn't stage this. This really happened. This is what I saw. I made sure nobody else was in the locker room. This is the entrance of the locker room. The locker room's way back there. So, I mean, I wasn't creeping. I was just taking a picture. This is a trash can. And this is a bag, let's go a little closer, of spinach. Somebody had set a New Year's resolution. They had failed a New Year's resolution and abandoned it on the trash can at the Planet Fitness by 3 o'clock on New Year's Day, which doesn't give us a lot of hope, does it? And let me tell you the reason that we fail, the reason that we defer one New Year's goal after another, the one reason that many of our goals are the same year after year. It's because we simply try and we don't train. There's a whole theology of trying, and trying is based on emotion. It's based on hope. I want to try to get in better shape. I want to try to eat right. I want to try to get out of debt. I want to try to come to church more often. I want to try to be nicer to my husband or my wife. I want to try. And the reason that we fail is because we're trying, we're not training, because trying is based on hope and emotion, but training is based on commitment, and it expects and prepares for difficulty. The book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother, expecting and preparing the Christians in Jerusalem for difficulty. And James was a skeptic up until he met Jesus again after Jesus' resurrection, became a believer, the leader in the church of Jerusalem. But the Christian Jews had been scattered. They were being persecuted. They needed help. And so he wrote a book, a letter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 5 chapters, 108 verses with 60 things in this book that were things that we should do, things we should apply to our lives. Like in James chapter 1, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That may have triggered a thought, because we've covered this before as a church family. That's a really good one. James chapter 1, the passage we're going to talk about today, we've talked about 3 times together in 8 years as a church family, because it's so applicable. It's like the Proverbs of the New Testament, probably one of the first books that was written. in the New Testament and one that is so easy to apply to our lives that it's almost scary. And it is about training to live a life that backs up with actions what we say with our mouths. James did not like hypocrisy. He did not like people saying they were believers and then living like they wanted to. He said, if your faith is real, it'll have actions that back it up. So let's see. And he didn't just say, I'm going to stand back and watch with my arms folded as your critic. He said, I'm going to tell you how it is that the Holy Spirit wants you to live. Let's do this together. And he wrote an amazing letter. Now, I like continuity. I like when you talk to me for you to make sense. And I hope you want me to make sense. And I try to make sense. Sometimes when I talk to my wife, Joy, it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes she starts at the end and then goes back to the beginning. Sometimes she starts in the middle and then she goes to the beginning and then she arrives at the end. And then sometimes I'm not sure where she starts, but there's a point and I have to catch the point. And it's not because she can't talk, it's because she's wired differently than me and she knows exactly what she means. And for her, it's about communication. For me, I'm just trying to find out the point. And James stresses me out a little bit because he doesn't really get to the point in continuity like I like. The reason is because he's writing to a specific group of people with problems that they know, they recognize. So when you read James, it might seem random to you, like he's almost ADD, grabbing a thought, sticking them together. Here's a book, read it. But it's not. It's specifically for a group of people who are dealing with real life issues. And so when you read the book of James looking for the same issues in your life that connect to the things he's writing about, you're going to find an application that will blow your mind. I started doing this on Tuesday, reading James chapter 1 every day. It's a fast read. You can read anywhere you want to. It's very easy for you to read this in 5 minutes. It's something very, very simple. In James chapter 1, even though I got started before you, I found things that popped out in my mind that were so strong. They began to become part of my thinking. I began to view my day and my world through the lens of James chapter 1. And you might say, why is that important? But for people who are training to live lives that are physically, that are emotionally, that are financially, that are relationally disciplined, spiritually disciplined, we want to be able to think like Jesus. And so it's making a difference. So James, he writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because difficulty is going to come. Now, dumbing James down to New Year's resolutions and going to Planet Fitness would be a huge mischaracterization of the intent of the letter. But little things become big things. And when we tell our bodies yes and no for the things that we need, discipline, choosing what we want most over what we want now, the little things become big things. And as we discipline ourselves in the things like, I will exercise, I will choose what I'm going to eat and not going to eat. I choose what I will buy and what I won't buy. I'm going to choose how I'm going to treat my wife or your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend, that today I'm going to choose them and not me or my kids. I'm going to be sacrificial in the way that I parent. When we choose these things, when we train ourselves in these things, the large spiritual things, they are so much easier for us to embrace and to put ourselves under the authority of. It'll blow your mind. And I don't want the kind of lives where when things happen that rock our world, which will come. Last year, you had some things that rocked your world you didn't expect. Anybody? Did anybody have anything they didn't expect in your life or in your world? I did. And when these things come, the church is like, oh, I hope people come back to Jesus. Well, I hope you're already there because we're training. So when these things come, people see you and your faith, your strength, your peace, and your joy, and you can point them toward that same rock in your life that you have, and you don't have to spend time coming back to Jesus because you're already living this life of discipline, of training, and you're done trying. James says, consider it joy, choose. You have to decide, am I going to consider it terrible and I'm going to hang my head and poor me and oh, woe is me. Or am I just going to say, you know what? I'm going to be joyful because God's doing something I don't see and perhaps life is not about me. And here's a secret. Sometimes the very things that we continue to ask God to remove in our life are the very things that God has chosen to use in our life. And it's not abnormal or wrong to pray that they were removed. But if God's not going to remove them or change the circumstance, change the difficulty, change the characteristic, change the circumstances, then he's going to use these things. And we can realize that we're not the point and that God's job is not to just make our life easier, but that we're part of something much bigger and that he may be developing something we don't yet see. Hold that thought. Come back. James talks about that in just a second when he deals with wisdom. So he says, you got to change your mind. You got to decide this year that you're going to train for adversity. And it starts with the little things. Have I already said that? Yes. And it works toward the big things because all things are the same things when you're a person. They all work together. Consider it all joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because when our faith is tested, it produces perseverance. The proving of our faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. That's the point. Steadfast, solid, not rocked by the little things in life, able to have strength and peace in the middle of chaos, to be able to point toward Jesus instead of having to run back and figure out where your bearing point was because your life has been drifting. You've decided to train, and so you're going to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But if you want God's perspective, wisdom, if you want to know God's perspective on life, that's wisdom. That's the biblical definition of wisdom, a view of life from God's point of view. Ask him, but when you ask him, be careful because you may not like the answer. We want to be the point. We want to be the main character. We want God to make it go away. We want God to bless us. We want God to give us money. We want God to give us friends. We want a better job. We want a happier marriage. We want a better car. We want a bigger house. We want. And God's not in the business of just granting our wishes like a magic genie, and faith is not something we muster up to cause God to do what we want. Wisdom is a view of life from God's perspective and allows us to see that there's a bigger picture in play and that we're part of it, but we're not all of it. And James says, listen, when you get a glimpse of this, don't let it rock your worldview, because if you do and you get upset, you throw a temper tantrum, then you're going to drift like a ship in the middle of a sea with a wind blowing and you have no way to steer, no way to guide yourself. He goes on and he says that you're gonna be useless. A person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord because such a person is double-minded. They think two different ways. I want what I want. I want what you want. I want what, I don't know, I just want it. And he says double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Unstable is a great synonym for undisciplined. Disciplined is simply choosing what we want most over what we want now and deciding that we want something different. Joy and I were talking yesterday about all the stuff we did last year and the series that I taught, and my main contribution to you guys, besides helping to sort of lead, you know, the city serve and stuff and kind of the overall direction of the church, is teaching on Sunday morning. That's what I do. So I look back over the teaching series that you kind of got a glimpse of and remember where we've been. And I thought, man, there's so much stuff that I encouraged my friends to do and so many things that we could apply. And I said, I wonder if anybody did anything. Every teacher wonders that, right? It's like, I wonder if anybody did anything. And Joy said, no, they didn't do everything. Nobody did everything. But she said, I bet some people, most people did something. And I realized that right there is success, because you can't do everything, but you can do something. And when you choose to do something and you do something consistently over time, then you're becoming a different person. I can work with that. But more importantly, so can God. And you are beginning to train yourself for something bigger. Trying's for losers. Trying, you know ahead of time you're going to fail. Because we quit when we feel like it. Or more importantly, and this is really important, I find myself thinking this way, and I know you think this way too, because I hear it far too often. When an excuse comes up in your life that you feel is big enough to give you the excuse to stop trying to achieve your goals physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, when something happens in your life, when life throws you a curveball, and you decide that the excuse is enough to where when you tell people what's going on, they'd be like, oh yeah, I get it. No, you can't go to the gym. Oh, I get it. No, I mean, you just buy whatever you want. Oh no, you're just good to keep breathing. I mean, yeah, your relationship, put it on hold. Your wife, your husband, they'll be there later. When the excuse is so big that you feel like it holds enough water to free you from what it is you said you were gonna do, and you quit, it's because you've been trying, not training. Because a person who chooses to train realizes that those things are gonna come and they're gonna come fast. For my anonymous friend, I have no idea who it was. Their adversity came on New Year's Day in the Planet Fitness when they left their spinach on the trash can, not even making it 10 hours. I promise you they were trying, they weren't training. Destined to fail. Adversity comes. Habits have a tendency to want to repeat themselves, which is why we call them habits. Patterns can be cyclical, which is why they're called patterns. But James is telling these early Christians, you can live a different way. Now, his goal is for them to live like Jesus in the middle of all kinds of adversity, all kinds of trials. His goal is for them to back up what it is they say with how they live. He almost is preoccupied with how they treated each other, with how they treated those less fortunate than them, with how they viewed people who were more fortunate, for how they helped people who were down and out and struggling with things in their life, for how obedient and humble they were. He goes through 5 chapters, 60 different principles, teaching us how to train our lives to become more like Jesus. So my question to you is, what do you want most this year? Not what do you want right now, but what do you want most? My challenge to you is, do not segment or compartmentalize your life. Because a person who's not disciplined in the main areas of life, but only in selective areas, is an undisciplined person. And eventually it will show up in places that you don't expect it. So as we give our entire lives to God this year and say, I can't be perfect. I can't make massive improvements. I can't go from 0 to 100. We can get moving. We can start. And we'll embrace something and we'll start and we'll fall and we'll get up and we'll dust each other off and we'll do it again. And we'll keep going January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September, October, November, December. And next year, if we watch a video, we will look back and be amazed at what God did in a life like mine, like yours. And now every part of your life is different. And that's what I want for every part of your life. To be under the control of the Holy Spirit, every part of my life. That will make 2025 the best year ever. James, in the way he writes, talks a lot like Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a first sermon that Jesus gave, a real big one. We've talked about that one a lot. It's found in Matthew. And he talks about how to be happy. And it's almost paradoxical. Because we think being happy is finding what we want now and grabbing that with both hands. That's gonna make me happy. But you realize, just like I do, because you've found what it is you think you want and you've grabbed it with both hands and you've seen it like sand sift through the fingers and go away. You know. But he says there's something bigger that if you reach for, something so substantial, something so meaningful, something so permanent that you were created for, that if you pursue that, if you train for that, it'll blow your mind. You'll be happy in the truest sense of the word. So only you can answer the question, what do you want? I can, as your friend and your pastor, each week help, nudge, encourage as we grow together. I'll pray for you, but you pray for me because I'm trying to grow too. And it's really hard. Joy asked me, she was like, hey, what are your goals for the year? What are your resolutions? Well, most of my goals have to do with her because I want to be a better man and a better husband. But I didn't want to tell her specifically what they were because then if I don't do it all the time, I didn't want her coming back and going, that was your goal and you didn't do it. We're going to be talking about that, guys, by the way, on Wednesdays. I just told her what they were in general, not that they were specifically, but I know what they are because for me, that's a really important thing for me. To be a better father, to be a better grandfather, to be a better friend, to be a better pastor, to be a man with a softer heart and a more gentle and willing spirit. Huge goals. I hope you have huge goals also, because together, if they're God's goals, we accomplish them. Father, thank you so much for the time we've spent. And I pray that you would encourage us. There's so much, it's so overwhelming. Some of our lives are so confusing, like a spider web, like a puzzle. But man, you are so good at puzzles, at untying knots, at making crooked lines straight. So I pray that today we hand you all of the crooked lines of our life. That as we lean into a book, a letter written by Jesus' half-brother James, inspired by you, your Holy Spirit, given to us so that we can learn to live like Jesus, that as we lean in as a congregation, as a family, each day, that you would allow these words to come alive in our life, and that we would be amazed, blown away by the things that you are doing as you transform us from the inside, by turning us into a new person, by changing the way we think, the way we live. I cannot wait to do that together, Father. Thanks in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.